Yeah, Mr. Carlos, pick you have a shame.
Mr. what?
Lead bass.
Lead bass.
Yeah. So now we were learning what were Bjossi's second period. Mishnah lead bass.
12.
And what we learned in the Mishnah was that, well, by you making a different number, let me have a look.
Yeah, man.
Let's see, that funky, the number is a little bit different.
Yeah.
You, it's a bit later, it's Mishnah 17. Are you at
17?
Okay. Yeah, so let's read it.
Rabbi Yossi said, let the property of your fellow be as precious as your own. Prepare yourself to study Torah, for it does not come to you as an inheritance. And let all your deeds be for the sake of heaven.
For the what?
Sake of heaven.
Okay. So we learned last week about what is the first sentence of Yehi Ma'amon Chavircha Tovah. You should be careful with his property. And that's a chosid, that's a real chosid. Like you said, he's the chosid, man. Second part is about learning Torah. Torah is not a Yerusha. You should study Torah. Don't think that it's something, you know, you heritage it. You have to work on it. That we learned last week. Then the last sentence is, as he says, all your deeds should be for the sake of heaven. Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. What does it mean? Everything we do should be for the sake of God. What is it talking about here? What's the idea?
You got to honor your God. You got to
you should honor your God.
Just like a king,
okay.
You have to do what he says.
Okay.
And show your respect.
You see, is it talking about mitzvahs? You should do mitzvahs for the sake of God. For sure. Is that what it says? It says that all your deeds should be in the sake of, for the sake of God.
Anything.
So what is it coming to tell us?
Anything you do, you have to have in mind that you do it for Hashem's
sake.
What?
Like, bring me an example. What is it talking about? Example. Example. What is it talking about? Let's say buying. Look, if you're going to buy chalas for Shabbos, okay, you should do it for Shabbos for the sake of God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about all your deeds. So let's say a deed that is when you go to buy yourself pizza. The pizza should be in the sake of God. That's what he's talking about, right? Is that what he's talking about? No. So what is he talking about?
You
need to explain.
Your desire for it is
the motivation.
Vivid by Hashem. Just like when you make a bracha on water, you're not making it on water. You're making it on the pipes that bring the water. You're making it on the glass that's designed for the water. Hashem gave the people the seichel for all those things in order for you to drink that water in a cup.
Okay. But he is talking about all your deeds. Now let's look at our deeds. What is our deeds? Let's see. What did you do? What was the first thing you did in the morning?
What?
First thing you did in the morning?
Get up, say modani, bashi.
Okay. Then, daven after you daven. So for the sake of God. I mean, davening is for the sake of God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you daven. Next, went to eat some bread. Had breakfast. Okay, did you eat the breakfast? He's talking about the breakfast. Not only davening, not only the tefillah should be the sake of God, also the breakfast should be the sake of God.
Everything after the learning, after the davening.
Also, meaning, let's divide our deeds into two or maybe three. Well, let's say basically two. One part of our deed is mitzvahs. Yeah, like davening is a mitzvah. It's written in the Torah. We should do mitzvahs, right? That's the first part. Okay.
What's the literal translation of Shemayim? Isn't
Shemayim is God. It's
no,
a way of expression to say God. Why is he using the word Shemayim and not God? That we'll later try and understand.
That,
but we're talking about God.
I thought that wasn't one of God's names. God has
Shemayim is not the
X amount of names, and that's not one of the names.
It's not one of the names. But,
oh, then how can it be implied that that's God?
Because God is called
God is watching over us from above.
It's called Rochev HaShamayim. sits in the sky. That was
but doesn't it literally mean like sky water or something like that? Shemayim, it has the word mayim in it.
Yes.
Water from the sky.
If it interests you, we'll make a lesson about it, what shemayim means.
Yeah, but it doesn't
make here, sense. Like, but here the meaning is, especially in Chazal, not in the Torah. You know, it's different language. Not exactly the same nuance.
Yeah.
Mishnah. In the Lashon, in the language of Chachamim, Shamayim means God. Like you have the famous word called Yirat Shamayim.
Well, neither one of them makes sense.
God.
Either way you go with it, it
doesn't make sense. So we'll explain it one day.
No. Like right now, either one of these explanations. Listen, if you're going to say it's for the sake of God, how can you say something for the sake of God? Because you can't do anything for God. God doesn't need anything. If you're going to say it's for the sake of sky water, what does that mean?
Here we're talking about the sake of God. That's a translation.
We
won't go now into explain why in the language of Chazal, Shamayim is a way to express the sake of God. We'll explain it. We'll leave it for tomorrow.
Okay.
Right. Today, let's just. This way, it says that everything you do should be the sake of God, meaning the motivation of doing it and the purpose of doing it, the purpose should be in purpose of God. Now, he's saying call. What is call mean? What does it mean? Everything.
All.
All means everything you do. Yeah. So let's begin. That's where we began. Meaning that when you wake up and say Moedani, okay, for sure, it's the purpose of God. That's what. That's you're davening. Yeah. Reincarnation is doing a mitzvah, doing it because God told you, yeah, the aim, the motivation, and the reason you're doing it, and the purposes, in order to do the mitzvah of Hashem, right? Okay, now let's go on. Breakfast. What it says, kol, it means also the breakfast. Yeah, and let's go on. Then you work. You're working. I don't know, teaching maths. It should be. The purpose should be in the sake of God. That's what it says. So if we put it into two, we put our deeds divided into two. Well, you can divide it into three, the Rambam says. One part of things it's a mitzvah to do. Some things that, let's say, an example of a mitzvah is. One example of a mitzvah.
Tefillah.
That's a mitzvah. Okay. Then we have deeds that are not allowed. Example of something you're not allowed to do.
Adultery.
Yeah. And then there's in the middle parts that it's not, you're not, it's not issur and it's not a mitzvah. You're allowed to, let's say, eating breakfast.
Putting tzedakah and pushkah there and dog.
No, that's a mitzvah. That's for sure a mitzvah. But let's say, I don't know, just going out and having a nice discussion. In the street or in the going out to the park, it's not issur, it's not mitzvah. Rav Yisrael says even that should be in the sake of God, in the purpose of God. That's what you see. What?
I also crossed my mind, as you said, there's the mitzvahs that we have a chiyuv to do.
Yeah.
There's also these, what we might say, optional mitzvahs.
Optional mitzvahs, also
or,
a mitzvah.
Or even...
But it's
okay,
also
yeah,
put
yeah.
it in the side of the mitzvahs.
Okay.
But you do it, you're doing a mitzvah.
Yeah.
That's the idea. You're doing a mitzvah. You can say, I'm doing it for purpose of doing what Hashem told us to do. Okay. Then you have things you know how to do. And then you think that you're doing it because human beings do it. It's just, you know, power of it, you see. It's just, we do.
Wearing your kippah.
What?
Wearing your kippah.
Wearing a kippah, maybe it's a mitzvah, I don't know. Yeah. So let's see. So there's a Rambam, you know, the Rambam has, in the beginning of his parish, he has Shmoyne Prokem Rambam, 8 chapters. That's the name of the book. Eight chapters. The 8 chapters, that's the name of his book, it's Hagdama for Masechet Avot. You can see it at the beginning of Masechet Avot. We'll try and read it. Because, why? Because he is explaining it. And as I said last week, the Rambam, I'll say it right in the end. What it says at the end, I'll say in the beginning. It's amazing. It's here. The Rambam says, he says, you should know this sentence, this paragraph. V'kol ma'asecha Yerushim Shamayim. You should know. I have no doubt. It's written v'ruach hakodesh, in the power of the divine. Why? Because it's so deep and so long and something so complicated, and it's written in
five words. Kol Maslecha Yerushalayim Shabbos. So I'm sure it's written in order. That's where it ends it. But now we see the beginning, okay?
It begins that the name of this chapter is a human being should use all his powers of the soul for one purpose. That's the title. And now it explains. What does it say? It says like this. You should know, whatever you do, whatever our moves we do, whatever things we do, we should have only one aim. And for example, he wants a bit of his example. For example, when you eat, when you drink, when you sleep, when you wake up, when you're walking, when you're going, when you're resting, when you're going to the doctor, and when you're seeing to your health, you should always know that whatever you do should be in order for one reason. You're doing it in order that your body should be healthy. That's why you do it. And the reason you want your body to be healthy is because you want, if your body is healthy, then your soul is healthy. And if your soul is healthy, you have healthy instruments in order to learn and study, and in order to get better midot tovot, to develop yourself, and in that way you can do your mitzvahs better. For example, so he's bringing here example, and the example is like this. Let's say so he's bringing here like a, you know, something that is, you wouldn't say it's a mitzvah. Yeah, what is it? Let's say listening to music. You listen to music because you like music. Let's say you're going out to the park, or you're going on the streets in order to have a look at the beautiful buildings, architects. Or you're going to see about how the road is nice. Well, you should do it in order that you should not be depressed, in order that you should have good mood. And we have a good mood, your soul is healthy, and then you can study well, and then you can understand well. And when you run and you have a healthy body and a healthy soul, and then you can study Torah, and then you can do the mitzvahs. Or for another example, when you're going out in order to do business, going out to work, yeah? He says, well, when you're going out to do business, what you should think about is that you should be able to live, make a living. And if you can make a living, then you have time to study Torah, and you have time to get to the real high madrigas. And he says, like, it's okay also to eat good food. You should take good food. Why? Because if you have good food, you'll be healthy soul. Because if not, your soul will not be healthy. And so on and so on. So, in the end of things is, you should always do whatever you do for one purpose. That all your body should be healthy, all your soul should be healthy. That way you can do the mitzvahs, and you can do it for Hashem. And that's what it says. That Hashem says, "Va'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha." You should love God with all your heart and all your soul and all what you have. It should be aimed to God. Whatever you do should be aimed to God. Whatever you do should be holy.
Yeah, but you would start pushing everything on your nutrition in order for the soul to be well.
And what?
You would, all this time you've been talking about eating properly in order for your soul to be strong.
Yes, body to be strong, your soul to be strong.
What you're saying is all that?
Everything.
So what is it? Cook talks about that. Like about physically, like being healthy, basic, physical exercise.
That's the basic thing. All your deeds should be for Hashem. Now, but the question is, if all our deeds should be for Hashem, so should we only do mitzvahs? Should we only, shouldn't eat much? Maybe we shouldn't hear music? Huh? Maybe we should only study, only learn Torah. If all our deeds should be for Hashem, maybe we shouldn't go out to the park with our children. Just stay in love. Maybe. Mama says no. You should do whatever a human being does. Whatever it is nature to do. That's healthy. And being healthy, having a healthy soul, you should just do it. When you do it, you should think, you know, I am doing it in order, the purpose is to have a healthy soul, to have a healthy body, to have a healthy family, healthy society, in order that all this, all this builds a foundation in our probability to do mitzvahs. That way we can do mitzvahs. Whatever we do. Maybe we should say, well, there's things we shouldn't do. Maybe we should fast. Maybe we shouldn't eat 6 days, only eat Shabbos. Eat well, eat good. But whatever you do should be L'Shem Shomayim. Whatever you do should be for Hashem Yisboch. And that is, he says, what it says in the Navi. It says in Masech, in Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech said it, Bechol Dvachecha Da'eu. In all your ways, whatever you do, you should see God. In everything you do, you should see God. So the Chachamim says, Chazal says something interesting. What does it mean, Bechol Dvachecha Da'eu? What does it mean, Bechol, in all your ways? What does all your ways mean? I mean, there's one way. What is all your ways?
Everything you do.
Everything you do. So, what is everything include?
I think that... Huh? I think what it's trying to imply is that...
Even what?
An example of this would be... sex. Between a husband and a wife, it's
very
fine.
Very good.
But...
Very good.
Outside
Why?
Of that, it's...
Because that's what Chazal say. Chazal say...
Oh, really?
Bechol dvachecha da'eu, afilu lidvar avera.
I'm on the right track.
Even something that is an avera. So, well, what do you mean avera? What do you mean avera you don't do? So it's things, people think it's an avera, but it's a mitzvah. And that brings the example.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Oh, wow.
Intimate relationship. It's a mitzvah. People think it's an avera. That's what Shlomo HaMelech came to say. Even when you do it, you should know you're doing it for God, for the sake of God. Why? Because it's a mitzvah. And because the tachas is it should be healthy, or the tachas is you should have children, or any tachas, whatever, yeah? You should have a healthy family, healthy relationship. And that is the even there, even then, even that point that you think maybe, you know, it's for pleasure, there's no mitzvah here, It's part of humanity. It's part of a healthy nature. It's part of a healthy relationship. Do it in the sake of God. Even that is for the sake of God. That's what the Rambam says. And the Rambam says is something amazingly, amazing. Because, you know, you do have groups, religious groups, yeah, even between the Jewish people. But sometimes forget it. So, you know, when we come to say, you know, everything we do should be for God, so they say, okay, let's divide it. There's things you should do, that's a mitzvah. All the rest says, no, a mitzvah, don't do it. It's not a mitzvah, don't go out to the pocket, it's a waste of little Torah. Don't go out to, don't eat too much. But why? Just eat bread. Beer, bread and salt, that's it. No. Islam says, whatever you do, you should eat good. You should live good. You should enjoy life. But enjoy it for the sake of God. Because everything is done in order to, if you think, and it's a big difference, you know, because let's say someone sits in a meal and eats, you know, a good steak, okay? If one is eating that steak, he's saying, oh, it's so good, I have a pleasure eating good steak. That's a vein. That's using what God gave you, not for the right purpose. not you should say. She said, I'm doing it because I have pleasure. It's good to have pleasure. The reason I have pleasure is because it keeps me healthy, keeps me going. It makes me happy. And that happiness, that healthiness, I'm going to use it in order to learn Torah, in order to do mitzvahs, in order to get to know Hashem better. That's what it says. And if you want to know, and this is what the Rambam says, that's what it ends, the Rambam says. He says, that is what Rav Yossi, if you remember, Rav Yossi is famous as what is he, what's his personality? Chosid. And he said, Beruach HaKodesh, that's what he says. Chazal said all this, Rav Yossi Chosid said all this short, in a few words, and it shows this whole understanding, this deep understanding, with such short words, how they said this basic principle, that was written about it so many books, and they wrote it in 5 words. So you know it's written in Ruach HaKodesh. Because this is a basic, it's a basic of our whole life, what the Rambam says. The basic of our life, what Rav Yossi says. And that is the difference between someone who's regular keeping mitzvahs and someone who's a chosid. Or someone who's doing mitzvah as well. That's a big difference. That's the main difference. Because someone who knows who does mitzvah, he does everything in the book, it's written in the book. But then goes to eat some porridge or go and eat some meat, and then he forgets about the mitzvahs. It's not a chosid. He's got a divided life.
He's making the broth.
He has two lives. He has double life.
He made the broth. He's not forgetting the mitzvah.
He made the broth and then he's eating the steak and drinking the wine. Saying, oh, it's
so what
so
makes
good.
It wrong then?
It's wrong.
Why?
Because he has his double life. Half of his life is for Hashem. And the that ends in the bracha.
The kohen didn't
and when
get
he
the
continues, tongue. And when he continues, all he's doing it for his own pleasure.
The kohen didn't get the tongue because it was the sweetest piece.
Yes, he did.
So that is that pleasure of enjoying
the
great.
And what's the difference? Because the kohen, when he ate it, he said, "Well, I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm doing it for the sake of God.
And I'm making a bracha on this delicious steak.
And it's delicious, and the being delicious and having pleasure of it is part of the mitzvah." That's what he said. And that's when you forget.
Forget what?
When you forget Hashem. When you forget the real purpose of doing it. If you said the bracha and now you're eating the steak and you're eating the steak for your own pleasure and that's it and that it finishes in that level, you have the whole life. Half life is for Hashem, doing mitzvahs for the sake of God. And the other half, you're just doing it for your own sake. Yeah, you're staying in the low level. Half of the life is high, half of the life is low.
But
the Rambam says, no, pick it all up. It's all bring it up to the high level. Eat the steak. Say it's pleasure, it's good. But why is it good to be good? Because that's how then Hashem wants me to do it. Hashem wants me to keep it that way. That's what it says. That's the high level. It's very interesting. You know why?
Just saying, every bite you're going to keep reminding yourself.
Yes.
This delicious thing is Hashem gave me.
Exactly. It comes from Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
And Hashem wants me to have it. And Hashem wants me to have it. And Hashem wants me to say how good it is. And say a good bracha on it. It's like Rav Shimshon Hirsch. I'm sure you've heard about Rabbi Hirsch, yeah? He lived in Germany. He one day went to visit the Alps. Yeah? He went to visit the Alps. So his daughter asked him, why are you going to visit the Alps? I mean, we're in Germany, long journey. He says, do you know why? Because when I go to Gan Eden, to paradise, Kadosh Baruch Hu will ask me, you know, did you see my beautiful Alps? Did you have a look at it? That's what he's going to ask me. So I want to say, yes, I saw it. And I said, oh, how great are your deeds, Hashem. What beautiful mountains you made. That's why I'm coming. That's a big difference. Because if you can go and see the Alps and say, oh, how beautiful it is, and that's it, you've lost it all. You've lost the connection. You've lost the connection with the sky. And that's where we're in the sky. It's the upper sky. You have earth and you have sky. Now, our mitzvahs are up in the sky. They connected the sky. But then we have things we do down here that are, you know, earth things, you know. Yeah, things, yeah, I don't know. Walking around, looking at the birds, looking at the trees, eating chicken, eating schnitzels. It's not up, it's low. Saying, oh, bring it up. Bring it up. If your aim is to do things, Hashem Shomayim, your purpose is Hashem Shomayim, then you can do it. But do it in Hashem Shomayim. And then even the most lowest thing, the most earthy thing, is part of the sky. You're connected to the sky. Because through looking at the purpose of what you're doing, that's how you're connected to Hashem. That's what it says. And that's the idea.
Like everything is aligning oneself with Hashem.
Yeah. Like and it a bit explains why it's using the term of Shomayim. Because it's like dividing the... We'll talk about it more tomorrow, but it's like dividing the deeds, our deeds we have, and the things we experience here. Things that are low, which brought it to the earth, and things that are high. And things that are high, you know, spiritual, or the spiritual things, you know, learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, putting tefillin, it's spiritual deeds, right? Learning Torah is spiritual, davening, saying Krishna is spiritual deeds. And then we have the low things, eating, drinking. Yeah?
Right, going.
Yeah, going around in parks.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all that.
Right. Or going out for ice cream.
Yeah, going for ice cream. It's low, what has it got to do? It's nothing spiritual there. It's very materialistic. Materialistic deed. So you have philosophies.
So how do you describe
Jewish theological philosophies will say, well, get away from it. Let's say in Christianity, you have the movement of the monks. What is it to be a monk? It's get away of the world. You know, stay in your own four walls and just do spirit and just get be occupied with spiritual deeds. That's all. Studying philosophy, doing good things. That's all. Yeah.
But spiritual deeds are completely void and meaningless without physical interaction with the world. If you're sitting there and everything is a theoretical, up in the air,
yeah, it's all theoretical,
esoteric,
yeah,
type of idea,
right.
then it doesn't matter. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but Judaism doesn't believe in doing it. Judaism believes that you should get married, you should have family,
yeah,
should eat well, should drink well, and do everything God gave us in this world, but pick it up. Bring it up to the world. Bring it up to the sky. Make it spiritual. Make it spiritual. Take the materialistic part of the world, make it holy. No, make it holy. Pour holy in it. Make it holiness. That means kol masachu shem shemayim. Everything you do should be shem shemayim. Now it's very interesting. What's interesting? Because historically, there was times in between the Jewish people, especially in Europe, where the Jewish people were a bit, I would say, were influenced by the Christianity, and they did have this like idea of like dividing between the good and the bad, the materialistic world and the spiritual world, the holy and the unholy. Like learning, you should only learn Torah and you shouldn't do anything else. Nothing got to do. And there was even an idea, something like, it's what's called the parush. A bit like being a monk. You know, leave your family, just stay in the Bismarck and learn. You don't have connection with the world. There was a certain movement in that. Especially, what?
I thought I'd heard something about it from I think Barrow Weinrib talked about something like that. Or I thought he called it like a kibbutz or something.
Yes,
or something.
He called it kibbutz. That's what the kibbutz was.
Yeah, but he said it's hard for us to hear. You know, like
right. That was a
that,
They were learned Kabbalah mainly. They mainly studied Kabbalah, and lived to themselves, like groups, were only men. And do you know who changed it? Who changed it? Today. I changed it for good or for bad. Very, very dramatic. The Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov came and he founded, and it's called, and it's the right name should be called, Chassidut. And his main idea, his main deep idea was, and that was his main idea, is No, you should not separate yourself from the world. You should go out to the world. You should eat well. You should live well. You should have a family. But make it holy. That was the main idea was. The main idea was that. So he made big on Shabbos, yeah? He made a big meals, yeah? So it's all a mitzvah. Not go cholent and say a brachon. It's a mitzvah. It's okay. It's all mitzvahs. It's all a mitzvah. The real chassid, I mean, today, you know, it got lost. It became a big movement and it got lost. But the basic idea in the real chassidim, that's what they do. They live the world but make it holy. And that makes them holy. Because everything you do is the shem shemayim. If every purpose of what you're doing is done for God, yeah, it makes everything what you do holy. Could be even things you know we shouldn't do. Even it goes in there so far. Things maybe which are done by mistake. But your meaning was doing it for sake of God. Ah, it's a mitzvah. It's a big mitzvah.
No.
I'll bring you an example. The story about what does it mean. I'll bring you an example of the Baal Shem Tov. Once upon a time, there was Yom Kippur. Yeah? This Yom Kippur, you know, in those days, you used to have a town, a city where you used to sit the Talmidei Chachamim, the learned people, and the developed people. That's where they lived in the town. But in the villages around, you had like families that were there all alone, sitting there. Usually they owned the bar. Or something. Usually they owned the bar, sold alcohol, Jews, or some very far away villages. But Yom Kippur used to come. One day they saw the Baal Shem. One day the Baal Shem Tov was in his town, in his city, in Yom Kippur. And they were davening, and Baal Shem Tov was, the whole Yom Kippur was crying, and it came the end of Yom Kippur, almost day went on, almost still crying. So I asked him, what's the problem? He says, well, I can see this year the Jewish people sinned so much, so Hashem is not forgiving us. You know, Yom Kippur is a time of forgiveness, but not always we get forgiven. You know, we should deserve it. Not always we deserve it. This year we don't deserve it. So many are various bad deeds. What's going on? And this is his Talmidim are very worried. He was davening, right? He was waiting. Then the door opened. Came in this boy, 16, and he walked by foot from the village far away, walked all the way to the shore in order to catch the davening kippah. He never davened all year, he didn't even know how to read. But he came, that was when he came. He didn't have much time, but that's when he came. And they were davening, going on saying, "Brach the tefillah, Shema koleinu, Hashem elokeinu, Chus vachem oleinu." And suddenly this voice makes a voice of a chicken. Everyone was saying davening. He's making voices of a chicken, kukuriku, loudly. Someone got angry. What is he doing? You're davening now. Shut up. What's going on? Continuing. But then Baal Shem Tov turned around and said, let him do it. Let him do it. Don't say anything. And go on, say it. Oh, now we were forgiven. Okay. The kippah was over. He was happy. Baal Shem Tov was very happy. Then went and said, what was it? What was these funny voices? He says, what is it? My name is Shmuel, and I live in this village. And my father died, and he lives with my mother, and she works
in the bar. But because my father died, I didn't study anything. I don't know. I looked in the Siddha, I don't know anything. I was looking in the Siddha, I just don't know. But so everyone was crying. I don't know Hebrew. I don't even to read. But what I do know is, I know the voices of a chicken. I hear it every morning. And when it calls, it wakes up. You know, the heaven should wake up. It makes up. That's understandable. Every morning, it wakes up. That's how I wake up. And then when she wakes up, I say, Hashem, oh, Hashem, Hashem, have a new day. That's the voice I knew, so I made the voice of a chicken.
The whistle.
Yeah, what?
The one that used to whistle all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what he did. Because that's when... Yeah, Hashem, that is the idea. Because, I mean, it's maybe some other rabbi would say, well, this is... It's against, you know, you come ashore, you're davening, into daven, you know, I mean, noises of an animal. It's not the honor of a shore, not the honor of davening. No. What is important here, what he's thinking about, what his feelings were, what the aim of what he did was doing. He was doing it in order for the aim of the sake of God. That's what he was doing. It was sort of a prayer, and a real prayer, a deep prayer, an inside prayer. And that's what Hashem wanted. The problem was all the prayers of all the Jewish people in that year was that they were praying, okay. But he needed something deep from the soul. And this came up deep from the soul. So that's an example, see what the Baal Shem would say. You know, even something that is not, it's not written in the book. Mm-hmm. You won't see it in Shnevuah. But it is the sake of God. Then that what makes a change. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov idea was. And it was quite accepted.
Rav Kook brings it in Orot Tshuva, in the fourth chapter. He gives this example. And it, basically, from what I understood, because it's really, really hard to understand.
Yes, yes, Rav Kook is difficult to understand.
But it was basically like, you have this guy, he wants to make Tshuva, and he's a leader. He's like a world leader.
Yeah.
And he thinks that he's doing the right thing, and he makes a decree. But because he doesn't understand the Torah, and he thinks that he's making tshuva, and he thinks he's doing the right thing, he goes and he makes this decree, and he's doing it because he thinks this is correct, and it's gonna help the world. But in reality, because he didn't understand the Torah, and he didn't know what he was doing, and he went and made this decree, it was the wrong thing, and it ended up destroying the world as a result. So his tshuva was not valid, and he destroyed the world as a result of it. And he shouldn't have done that.
Well, who is Rabbi Akiva talking? Someone who did tshuva and was wrong.
Yeah, like this king.
Who's that?
He was given an example of like a leader. He was like a king, right?
And why was he about to do tshuva?
No, he was doing. He was making tshuva, right?
Yeah.
And he goes and he makes this decree, and because of what he thought was correct. Like, yes. For example, let's say he made a decree in communism. Uh-huh. We're going to go full blown communist, and as a result, all these people starved to death.
Yes.
It didn't make tshuva for him. He made a terrible mistake.
So,
and it was
bad. What point is he trying to make? What's the point of trying to make?
That cuckooing like a chicken.
That
is
what?
Not,
why?
Cooing like a chicken is not going to...
He's talking about the leader who has effect. What he's doing has certain effect.
It's just his way of
thinking. It's something else. He's talking about, you know, when you do things, you should think about the effect. And especially if you're a leader, you have strong effect of people. Yes. So think about your concept. What did you do? What did it make the people? It's something else. It's a different idea.
But
here we talk about something personal. You're doing something personal out of your heart. And even if it looks strange, and not according to the book, but you really meant it, and it's between you and God, yeah, it's not something you know. Between you and God. If your meaning is pure, it's holy.
Yeah, but even if... Rambam brings like when you're doing the davening, the pronunciation has to be exact. If,
sure.
If it wasn't exact, you weren't Yotze. It would be better for you to daven in your own language, and do it that way.
It's all true. It's all true.
Then why didn't he just go and be like, tell him to go daven in his own language and quit coming like a chicken?
Again, it's all true. You should do things by the book, and we have mitzvahs, and we have way how to do things. But if someone in his own personal world, because of his personal in his conditions of life, yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah? He didn't. It's not meant to do. It's not meant to change something. He just didn't know, yeah? It should be pure.
It's not that he knows what should be done and does different. No, it comes out of something, a different level of knowledge, yeah? And on this level, in his level, he's doing something pure, it's pure for his level. But it doesn't mean it's for you good. It doesn't mean it's for you good or for you, because everyone is different. Yeah? And as a matter of, as a general matter, we all need to do what it says in the book. Yeah? Sometimes, certain conditions, personal issues, personal reasons, you did something, you could look at it like a mistake. But if this mistake comes, you did something, and it comes out of a pure feeling, then it's who? And that's what even everything you do, comes only because it's from God, then it's pure. And that's a real chosid, because a real chosid is where there's no difference. I mean, all his life, whatever he does, it's all chosid. That's a chosid. A non-chosid has a book. What's in the book he does, and then he has his own life. It says in the book, you're allowed to do it, he does it. You're allowed to eat a steak, you eat a steak. You're allowed to eat ice cream, you eat ice cream. You're allowed to eat sushi, you eat sushi.
But nothing about failing.
What?
But nothing about failing, you're smart.
Yeah, but no Yerusha Shemayim there. A chosid takes the sushi and makes the sushi holy. Even that is, it should be real, yeah, you know? It should be real. Not just, you know, fake it. It should be real. When you eat, when you drink, when you do things, if you feel it makes you good, it makes you better, it makes you more healthy. And you really care about your health because you want it for Hashem. It's not easy to do. It's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. The way of the Baal Shem Tov and the way of the Chosid, it says here, is the most difficult thing to do. The most difficult. Because it's very easy to read Kriya Shema and put on tefillin for the sake of God, spiritual, and feel spiritual. It's easy. It's easy to dive and feel spiritual. But then to take a chicken, a schnitzel, and eat it, and feel that it's also a spiritual deed, really, it means that you need to live in a level where you will feel that what you're doing is the sake of God. It really makes you good, and whatever you do, for good, it's all for Hashem. It's easy to talk, it's not easy to do. It's very, very difficult. It's very easy to be a monk. Very easy. You just stay there in your four walls and just
meditate.
Meditate and do and that's it. And you feel good, and that's it. And you don't join life. You're not part of you. That's it. You're not there. That's it. It's easy. It's much more difficult to live the life and really feel that you're doing it for the sake of God. Very, very difficult. It's not easy. So, I mean, the Baal Shem Tov came and said, well, this is what you should do. It wasn't easy. And you see how it's not easy. Because most of the Hasidim manage to do it. They do have the idea that you should work on your heart and work on the meaning. They have the idea. But actually, you know, to eat a good cholent, yeah, and feel well, if this is for the sake of Hashem,
I mean, it's a theme and an idea for Shabbat and Yom Tov.
What?
It's a theme. It's an idea for Shabbat and Yom Tov.
But sit on Shabbos, yeah? And eat cholent. And feel that what you're doing here is the sake of Hashem. And feel spirituality when you eat cholent. The Baal Shem Tov could do it. Rabbi Yossi HaChosid could do it.
I think everybody does it, don't they?
No.
It's a mitzvah to do it.
It's a mitzvah.
When you stuff your face.
Yeah, right. When you're eating the cholent, it's a spiritual deed?
Of course, because you're fulfilling the mitzvah of having the meal. You had to have the three meals for Shabbat.
So you eat
have to have the two for Yom.
So if you feel it, it's good.
So he said, okay. The rabbi's saying,
it's not easy.
It's very nice. You made the bracha, but now you're going to just push the food in your mouth. You think of Hashem when you're pushing the food in. I think it was a great aunt and uncle. They lost all the children in the Holocaust.
Uh-huh.
And they're very poor. My grandfather took them into his house for the summer, get them out of New York, and was eating. Every bite they took, the same, what is it?
Shem Shabbat.
Shem Shabbat.
Shem Yichud.
He used to say, every bite they took, and they meant it with all their
That's
heart.
That's a real question.
With all their heart. Every little bite, not that they would miss a bite or something.
Exactly.
Every little bite. I never seen Sapphire. He brought up just now, I remember it as a kid.
And was he Chassidish here?
What?
Was he Chassidish?
Litvak.
Litvak. Wow.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, no, it's a real chassid.
But every biker, and this is after losing their family.
Wow, unbelievable.
All right? Every biker appreciates also.
It reminds me of a story. Reminds me.
I forgot all about it. Now that you talked about this, just about.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I realize.
That's a chosid. That's how. And where did they learn it from? From here, from the Rambam. The shame from Revisi Chosid. It's not easy. Very not easy. There's another story about the Baal Shem Tov, or one of his Talmidim. It's the same idea. It's once upon a time, one of his Talmidim came to him. It's the same idea. I mean, you hear the stories of Hasidim, you don't, usually we hear the stories, but we don't connect, we don't understand the real meaning of it. But it's the inside meaning. And this is quite a famous story, but I don't think people understand what the real meaning is. And this is the meaning. Once upon a time, one of the students of Baal Shem Tov came to him and said, you know, the Baal Shem Tov, I want to know, after, you know, we now pass away, I want to know where in Gan Eden, I'm going to be in Gan Eden, will I? Baal Shem Tov said, yes, you will, sure. Will I sit in the table with, when people are going to learn Torah, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to sit there. He says, who's going to sit near me? We're all going to sit there. So as you know, there's in this village, someone called Shapti. Shapti's name is. Shapti. You're going to sit near him. I think so. You and him are going to sit together. That's why, that's why I think. That's it? Well, who is it? I don't know. We'll see that who you and him are going to sit. So I wanted to know who it is. So we went to travel this, and it was a great rabbi. Great rabbi it was. So he went to this village, and he asked, Chassidish stories, Rabbi Shapti. So we don't have here any rabbi called Shapti. He says, no, someone great, a big Ketom Tchochon. Don't know who we're talking about. Shapti. Don't know. No, someone knows, maybe a great, don't know. Maybe he's a big chosse, maybe someone is in the Beis Medrash. Don't know Shapti, I've never seen anyone like this called Shapti. Don't know who you're talking about. So he said, okay, wanted to walk out. And someone says, well, do you mean maybe Shapti the Fat? Shapti the Fat Man. So what are you talking about? So there's someone, you know, Shapti lives in the end of the village. He's very fat. He never goes out of his house because he's so fat. He's the Sedon. He doesn't. Never comes to the shore. He never comes to Davin. Maybe Yom Kippur. Maybe you talk about him. So, I don't know. Is this the only Shapti living here? I said yes. So, okay, maybe it's him. Okay, I'll go and see. So he went to the house and knocked on the door. And his wife opened the door and says, is your husband here? Rabbi Shapti here? I said, I don't know, there's no rabbi here. And my husband, his name is Shapti. You want to? He said, yes. He said, well, could I please stay with you Shabbos? He went in. So I don't know if he would agree. He went in the house. Sitting at the table, eating. And said, could you stay here Shabbos? I don't know. If you want to stay, can stay here Shabbos. If you wish, okay. So stay the Shabbos. And then Shabbos' wife came home with big bags of fish and meat and kugel and cholent and bought it all, piles and piles of food. And then the Shapti couldn't walk. He sat in prayer, short prayer, and then said, okay, now let's eat. Made short kiddush and began eat. Finished eating, said, okay, now we're going to sleep. Morning woke up, I had a short tefillah, short davening, said, okay, made kiddush, now let's eat. He was eating cholent,
bread, another bread, and more chalas, and more chont, and more chalas, and more meat, and more eating, 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 eating. Finished eating. Okay, now to go and rest. When the first meal, Sivudas Shlishis, all I was doing was eating. No singing, no Divrei Torah, no... nothing. Believe how much he eats. Came up to Shabbos. He made Avdalah. So he opened up to Lamamalka. So okay, maybe Lamamalka is going to be special. Was bringing all. Had, wasn't enough food. That's the wife to go to the neighbors to bring more. So at the end, he said, you know, that's a good question. What do you want to ask? So I don't know. I was here. Do you know why I came here? Why? You know, I came here. Because my rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov, said that you're going to sit with me and get Abel. He didn't say anything with Torah. He didn't daven anything. Or daven very short. Why is it? He said, well, I need to eat. I don't want to daven long. You don't go out to daven even minyan. He said, well, I need to eat. I can't. It's so fat. But you didn't know Divrei Torah. Why no Divrei Torah? Says, what do you mean no Divrei Torah? I don't know to read either. I don't know to read the words. Sure, not the small. I don't know Divrei Torah. So he says, well, do you know? My rabbi, Roshan, says, you go and sit with me. Why is that? I don't know. He says, do you have a story or something? Says, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. You wonder why I'm eating so much? You know why? I'll tell you why. I am a child. I didn't learn anything, didn't study anything. I'm brought up by strangers. They didn't teach me anything. I don't know anything. One day when I was a young boy, when I was 19, 18, there was in my village, where I grew up, the founders, there was this blood label, found a child, and took the rabbi, tortured him, said you should, and they told him, yeah, you should, and they took him to court, and the court decided he's guilty. Blood label, or killed a child, a Christian child. They said he should be burned, that's what they did. So they brought us, all the people of the town, all the people of the city, Gentiles and the Jews, everyone together, to build this big bonfire afterwards.
Yeah?
Later. Okay, after you left.
Are you still being here?
Yeah, I'm staying. We bought this big bonfire, and then they brought this rabbi. He's tortured. Skinny rabbi came, put him on the bonfire, and then came the priest, gave him the cross, and said, if you want to save your life, you should bow to the cross, yeah, and convert, and then we'll be saved. And the rabbi says, no way, I'm not going to have my own belief. I believe in Hashem, I believe in the Jewish Torah, and everyone was very excited, yeah. The rabbi. So, okay, the rabbi is still there. And they turned on the fire. The big kiddush Hashem. But there was a good problem. The rabbi was very skinny. So after a few seconds, the fire burned. Finished. It took a few seconds and that's it. I saw it and I thought to myself, you know, I want to be there. I want to sit and one day be there where I'll have the opportunity to make Mesiras Nefesh, do Kiddush Hashem, and I'm going to stand there, and when I have this prayer, the priest is going to ask me, William Kivan, I'm going to say, no, you can burn me, I'm okay for the sake of God, and I want the fire to burn a long time, so people should say, oh, Kiddush Hashem. So I don't want to be skinny like that rabbi. I want to be big and fat. I want to eat a lot. So every piece of meat I'm eating, every piece of chocolate I'm eating, I'm thinking, this will be a great show. Every piece of meat, every piece of chicken, it's for us, Kiddush Hashem. So the student heard that. He was very excited. I thanked him and went back to Baal Shem Tov. I said to Baal Shem Tov, now I don't understand one thing. I met the Shapti. I was very moved by what I heard from him. So one thing I don't understand, why do I have this horse to sit with him Nergenet? He's much higher than me. Everything he's doing, everything his whole life is all dedicated to one thing. Kiddush Hashem. Why do I have this horse to sit with him in Gan Eden? And this is the idea of Koma Sikhashim Shem. All he's doing is eating and eating and eating and eating. But everything he's doing, every piece of food is put in his mouth. What is it? What is it? It's Kiddush Hashem. That's all he's thinking about. This is a holy man. Holy of holy. This Shapti is holy of holy. And this is the idea of a host. We can all see how things that are simple, things that are materialistic, eating, what's more materialistic than eating chicken or eating big challah? Materialistic, but it's by him it's a piece of Kiddush Hashem. It's holy of holies. It's more holy, much more holy than anything we can do. Than any mitzvah. It's the most highest mitzvah is Kiddush Hashem, right? The most highest mitzvah you can do. And it takes something simple and makes it the biggest and highest mitzvah you can do. This is the deep idea, and this is not easy. It's not easy. And this is what Rabbi Yosef Chosid said.